Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. The Bible requires, I guess you could use the word mandate, that appointed leaders be over local churches. And these leaders are, for the lack of other names, we most of the time refer to them as elders. These leaders are to be chosen based upon specific qualifications that God has given us in His Word, and they are to lead within the limits of the role that's outlined for them in the Scriptures. We know that the religious world has seen a lot of departing, a lot of changes, and a lot of man-made innovations to this role, which are simply just not taught in the Scriptures. First of all, let's look at what the Bible teaches concerning the elders. There are several names that are given to the work of being an elder. One of those names is presbyteros, which is the word that means older. The word presbyter, which is the same meaning for elder, is a form of this word, and we find it used in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. And it's being used of the body of elders, that is, the group of elders, the eldership, we might say. So this name describes the roles of the elder in relation to their age. They're not young and inexperienced, but they are those who are older in the faith. In fact, in the qualifications given in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1, they're not to be a novice. Another word that we find for elders is episcopos, and that means an overseer. That's where we get the word bishop from, because that's what a bishop is. He's an overseer. It's used, and we find it in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, in Philippians 1 and verse 1, and in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. So what this name, what this designation does, it refers to the same role as that of elders, but it describes the nature of their work. They oversee the church. And then the other word that we find is the word poimen, which means shepherd. The word pastor is the word that we get from this word translated in our New Testament. We find it used in Acts 20 and verse 28, and in 1 Peter 5 and verse 1 and 2, and in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And again, it's the same role as that of a bishop or an elder. But when we talk about a shepherd, we're talking, or a pastor, we're talking about the description of the nature of the work that they do. So as spiritual shepherds, they are involved in spiritually feeding and spiritually protecting the flock. When it comes to elders, what we see is passages like Acts 14, verse 23, where the Bible says that they went and ordained elders in every church. So that's what we see being done in the first century in our New Testament. Then, when we turn to passages of Scripture, like 1 Timothy that we referred to a moment ago, chapter 3, we see the qualification of elders. So look at it, if you have your Bibles, and we hope that you do, in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning with verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the house of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That's the qualifications that we see in First Timothy. Now, let's look at Titus chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Paul said, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." So here we see the qualifications that are divinely given for these men to possess. And we see the responsibilities of being an elder when we look at 1 Peter and what's stated in chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. "The elders that are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And then we find that in Hebrews, a statement is made in Hebrews chapter 13. Notice what we read in verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you." But we see what has happened down through the ages is a departing from this pattern that we're reading about concerning the authority that elders have. We see, first of all, there was an expansion of their authority. Some churches have taught that a bishop has authority to command whether God's word has said anything about it or not. In other words, there are those who are in great authority in denominational churches that claim infallibility. In fact, their commands are considered unquestionable. Their statements are considered to be the very words of God. And in many controversies, some take essentially the same view when they argue about a member of a congregation must follow the elders in matters without scriptural authority. The Bible gives the eldership limited authority within the bounds of God's word. We see in Acts chapter 5, notice in verse 29 what we read. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man." And that's what we need to be doing today. But not only is there the idea of absolute submission to elders, but there's the idea of their having expanded oversight. Some churches have presumed to give a elder authority over more than one church. Others who reject that, they allow practices in foreign evangelism in which elders in one country control the affairs of the churches in other countries. But friends, the Bible teaches that the authority of the elders is limited. It's limited to the local church. That's where they were appointed in Acts 14 and verse 23 that we read a moment ago. And when we go to Acts chapter 11, what we read beginning in verse 27 points out that very same thing about their authority. In those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should come a great dearth throughout all of the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So elders only have the authority of the church over which they have been appointed from. And then there's this idea of the mother church concept. You know, there's some that teach that the elders of larger churches can direct the affairs of smaller churches. But again, the Bible grants no greater authority to any church over another church. And then there's that more common thing that we hear almost on a weekly basis, and that is the pastor, this pastor concept. So many people apply this word pastor to the preacher, and they give to this individual sole leadership over the congregation. In some cases, this pastor is hired and fired by a board of deacons. But friends, the Bible always teaches a plurality of elders. By that I simply mean more than one. That's what we read in Philippians 1 and verse 1. Paul addressed the church at Philippi with the saints and the bishops, plural, and the deacons, and that was plural. Now, certainly a preacher may serve as an elder if he possesses the qualifications, but I know of a lot of preachers that everyone calls a pastor, and yet he may not be married, he may not even have children, or the children that he has may be unfaithful. But we read those qualifications a moment ago. We read the qualifications that an elder, a pastor, must be married. He must be the husband of one wife. He must have believing children. And he must be in control of his home. Because if he doesn't know how to rule his own house, how can he know how to rule the house of God? So, yet, preachers always oftentimes referred to, I don't know how many times I'm asked, are you the pastor at East Albertville? No, I'm not. We have pastors. We have Brother Henson. We have Brother Pack. But no, E.R. Hall is not the pastor, but yes, he is the preacher. But the preacher and the pastor are two different things in the Scriptures. And that's where the mistake comes in. So then, we see too, that not only in the departing of the pattern of what is laid down for the authority of elders is when it came to the expanding of their role, but we see that there's the opposite of that, and that is there's a denial that elders have any authority whatsoever. So that often happens when there is an abuse that occurs. So in reaction to some of these abuses regarding the authority, some have tried to suggest that elders have no authority. And while the authority of the elders is limited to the Word of God, the fact that the members are to be submissive and obedient to them is made clear by the passage we read a moment ago in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Friends, the Bible sets elders, bishops, shepherds, overseers in the local church to lead them in accordance with the dictates of God's word. And that authority must not be superseded. We see that our time is gone. We appreciate you listening. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.